This is the Cross Conference 2011 Women's World Cup daily recap for July 1st, 2011. Shocking results continue today as four teams played and one has completely secured their place in the quarterfinals. In today's first match, Japan proved that France was not the only team capable of producing a flawless result as they thrashed a young and idealist Mexico. Homari Sawa scored a hat trick, leading Japan in a 4-0 win over the Tricolores. The second match proved to be much more competitive. While England ultimately pulled out a victory, it was a spunky New Zealand who struck first, dominating the English in the first half. England, however, made the necessary corrections to score two nice goals in the second, and barring a virtuoso performance from Mexico, will advance to the quarterfinals of the Women's World Cup. Today I was joined by another previous guest, Shauna, from Girls in the Cheap Seats podcast. Hi, this is Joan with the Cross Conference Women's World Cup daily update. It's July 1st. We have four quarterfinalists, and I am joined by Shauna from Girls in the Cheap Seats. Welcome, Shauna.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We've had you on before, and it was lovely, and I'm so glad that we can do it again. How is this World Cup for you so far?
It's been a great World Cup experience. Every morning I wake up, I usually get to see only the second half of the first game, but usually that's enough, and then I get to watch the second game. My dog and I have been enjoying these games immensely. She sleeps through some of them, but she was really attentive during the Australia game, and she was very upset by their loss. So at least I get to talk out loud, and it's not like I'm talking to myself.
The dog's there. The dog is listening, and he's like, yeah, I don't know if I agree with that assessment. Mm-hmm. What kind of dog do you have?
She's an Australian Shepherd.
Oh, okay. I see. Yeah. Very nice. So you saw the games this morning.
I did, yes.
Yeah. So Japan, Mexico. I admit I took the opportunity to sleep in. It's my day off. And I've been waking up early to watch every single game. But I did, you know, go back to the beginning after I saw that 3-0 scoreline, which is when I started, and knock me over with a feather. Another flawless performance, this time from Japan. I don't even know what to say, like, about these results of people, like, steamrolling over CONCACAF teams.
It's worrying for the U.S.-Colombia game. I'm concerned now.
I know. There was, like, you didn't maybe have a lot of emotions before, but now it's like, oh, shucks. Something terrible could happen.
Although I suppose there's a difference between Colombia and Japan and France.
Yeah. So. Yeah, there's quite a big difference. One being experience. And I think that the experience came into play with Japan and Mexico. Japan being a very experienced team, very sophisticated. And somehow Mexico was just not on their game. They didn't have... I don't know if it's... they played up to a certain level because they were playing the United States in CONCACAF qualifying, but like I didn't see any of that in Mexico in this game. I think their youth got a little bit rattled. Like they were just making really awful mistakes, not even doing like basic defending.
Yeah, I only got to see the second half, and when I turned it on, it was at that 3-0, and I think just going up against a team like Japan that was so precise and clinical, and there was just everything looked so not easy to them, but they looked so comfortable on the ball. And I think they just dominated that game so much that, like you said, I think Mexico's youth was not so, they didn't know how to respond to that. Like in comparison, I think New Zealand responded better as a young team than, say, Mexico did in this game.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I think, I don't know. What it would have taken for Mexico to win was probably to push Japan around a little bit more and get a little bit more physical and stand up with it. That's not their game, but I think that's what they needed to do. But they didn't do that. So, you know, they're now out of the tournament. They have, you know, one game on Tuesday. Unfortunately, we have a Tuesday full of meaningless games, even though they should be, you know, awesome to watch. They'll be awesome, but like
they'll be fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Unless somehow Mexico pulls out like a what do they need? They need like a 6-0 win or something.
Yeah, I think. Well, no, because England has a win and a tie. Oh, yeah, no, you're right.
Mexico has a tie as well. So if they get a win, but they're still at that -4, and they'd still have to top England's goal differential. So, yeah, they're pretty much out at this point, barring a miracle.
Yeah, and unless New Zealand wants to exact some sort of revenge against England by just phoning it in, I don't think they're going to allow 6 goals. It could be. That would be interesting, though shameful. Homari Sawa getting a hat trick. That's great. Like, she's been a wonderful player since the WUSA days, and for Japan, always wonderful. And considering how veterans have behaving in this tournament, it's refreshing.
It is. It's really nice to see. Because ESPN just hammered that clip of Prinz down our throats all morning. And then you see Sawa having this great game and, you know, celebrating with her teammates. It's a nice change.
I don't know. I mean, we saw that fit from Birgit Prinz early last year. Mm-hmm. I did not expect that from her coming off the bench to her own team.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, say what you will about Abby Wambach, but she would never pull that. Like, she'd never do that. And she's never won Player of the Year. Like,
yeah.
I'm just, that was gross, Birgit. Get it together.
It was. And then the way they just kept showing it, you're like, this is not bad. This is just not good at all. It just looks bad, and I think maybe even gives Jeremy's coach like incentive to bench her for the next game. I think she should give her a little bit of motivation to step it up a bit.
Mm-hmm. Put your big girl panties on and deal with it. But okay, so from the beginning of this, like before this World Cup started, with all the warm-ups, you know, against the U.S. ending the way they did. Did anybody expect Japan and France to be head and shoulders above, like, every other team?
No. Like, not that Japan looked awful in the warm-ups against the U.S., but, I mean, they gave the U.S. a challenge, but I didn't expect this. Which, I don't know, I sort of like this unpredictability of the World Cup so far. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, you're not seeing, you know, the traditional big teams are still sure to go through, but it's making you wonder. You know, just maybe the younger teams or like the newer teams will be getting farther this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, England is going through because, but it wasn't guaranteed, especially seeing that first half. And once again, this New Zealand England game, a tale of two halves, you know, England eventually pulling out a 2-1 win, but New Zealand striking first.
Yes. The way she split those defenders, and just England's defense that first half was just not, they did not get it together. And I was a little shocked by that.
They were very undisciplined and quite flat footed. That Sarah Gregorius goal in the 18th minute, like, you know, an early goal from New Zealand, that's, you know, that's got to feel great. People were saying how the New Zealand coach was saying England is very predictable. And I think in that instance, he was right. They knew exactly what to do, how to exploit the England defense. They didn't need sheer brilliance. They just needed, you know, the right thing at the right time. And they were able to get it. Fortunately, for New Zealand, they didn't have to be that good at defending in the first half because England was making just awful choices with the ball and their bodies and everything else.
Yeah. Seeing Kelly Smith go down was, you know, I'm not even an English, like a fan of England necessarily, but I, you know, got a little worried because you're like, what happens to this team if she's not healthy, if she can't play? But credit to Hope Powell, whatever she said to them during halftime and the substitution she made, they really turned it around in the second half. I like the Jess Clark substitution in particular.
Yeah, Yeah, I was thinking maybe Karen Carney was going to be the difference, but no, definitely Jessica Clark was definitely the difference maker for that second half. But at the beginning of the second half, New Zealand did come out with, you know, a pretty storming start. So I was like, oh my goodness, you know, England's really having a rough game. But then England, you know, finally got it together. Mm-hmm. With that Jill Scott equalizer header, you know, it was just very well done. Finally, every choice was made properly, and it was yeah. just really executed very well. Because I was thinking during the game, I'm like, England, they need something brilliant from their brilliant players, and they didn't get it until the 63rd minute.
Yeah.
So they had much more pep in their step after that. Mm-hmm. And then the second England goal. Wonderful, you know, they not in terms of sheer beauty, but England just working, New Zealand losing their shape, not being so disciplined, and in that case being predictable, they're trying to play that offside all game.
Yeah, and they got lucky with a few times. I think once or twice even the lineswoman called it offsides when they showed the replay. She was level, like they were always level with the last defender. And, you know, I think that New Zealand got lucky there, but England did not give up after they got their equalizer, which is good because they're going to need that as they keep going. Because they can't do this like one half, we're going to be awesome. And then the next half, not so awesome. And we're going to be silly and make mistakes. I want to see them do well, honestly. I think that they have a bunch of really great players. In particular, I really like Alex Scott, and so I was really happy that she put that cross in to Jill Scott. There are so many like people with double last names, and then I think there was someone on New Zealand that also had the last name White, so I started to get confused. There's a lot of that going on. I was close to writing things down just to make sure.
And there's
not confusing them.
There's a Wilkinson in New Zealand, yeah. And there's a Wilkinson in Canada. Yeah. That was a very good game. I mean, in terms of England pulling out the result, when you think what it must feel like to be an England fan, many ups and downs. Like, it's almost like being, in this case, a men's national team fan sometimes, when mm-hmm. it's like, oh, they go down. Oh, they can equalize. Yes. Oh, it feels so good. But of course, if you're a U.S. men's national team fan, it just ultimately leads to, disappointment and brokenheartedness. But in the end, New Zealand kept fighting. They didn't I feel like maybe they should have been a little bit more careful, but at the end they didn't have the legs to do the counterattacks that they needed. Like, it was clear that they were trying, they had some opportunities, but in the end it was like they ran out of steam.
Yeah,
and England were sitting pretty.
Although, and then the icing on top of that game was getting to have Kate Markgraff's commentary.
God, I love her. Don't you love her?
I just love listening to her. She has, like, the most soothing voice, and she doesn't say dumb things too often.
She doesn't repeat herself too often.
Exactly.
Like, she'll always say something delightful about how she does tug on people's shirts.
Yeah, she's like, it's okay, it can be done if you do it right, you know. That's the stuff I love to hear. And then, you know, mentioning WPS players and that sort of thing and bringing things in that way, I really love that.
Yeah, that was I think she's my favorite of the commentators. I don't have to think, I know she's my favorite. I don't know. Maybe she's not as smooth and polished as everyone else, but that makes her less boring and annoying.
It's refreshing. It's different. You're not getting the usual, like, oh, and they're trying to unsettle Germany and just repeating that phrase about 30 times throughout the game. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't get that the first time. I don't like Julie Foudy. I do, but maybe some different phrases would help.
Like, not ever saying Barcelona.
That would be a good one.
Or Messi. Yeah. It's like there are other possessing teams, yes, and other brilliant players. And there aren't really any female Messis. So that's a really dumb comparison. Like, there's, you know, other men's players that you could compare. people too, but
nope, there's only one.
Yeah.
According to Julie.
Nope, there's everybody's a messy. Everybody's a messy of defense, a messy of goalkeeping. Everyone's a messy. She's like the Oprah of messy. Like everyone, you're a messy. You're a messy. You're a messy. You. So tomorrow's games, Korea, North Korea, hopefully not going to be struck by lightning. As was their coach's excuse for their awful second half against the U.S. Korea playing Sweden and the USA playing Colombia. Now, you're a U.S. fan, correct?
Yes.
Yes. The rumor is Lori Lindsay replacing perhaps Shannon Box in the midfield, but that's the only change from the Korea game. How are we feeling? How are we feeling about this lineup?
I suppose that makes sense. I know they said Lindsay will either replace Shannon Box or Carly Lloyd. Shannon Box just didn't have a good game in the first game. I just think that maybe I'm not mad about this substitution. Is what it is. I'm not mad about it. I'm willing to see where it goes. Although today I think they showed a clip of Pia saying that Shannon had a great game. I was like, I don't know what you're talking about, Pia. Because that was the opposite of a great game. It was worrying because she's not the same player she used to be. Mm-hmm. And it's showing. So I would take this as a positive move, at least see how it goes. I'd say we have a pretty good chance of beating Colombia. we'll probably just grind out the win I think that's what it'll come down to. It's not going to be pretty, but I think it'll happen.
Yeah, I think Colombia will have probably a lot of grit under them and give the USA a hard battle. They're not going to let them run over because this has turned out to be a very competitive World Cup. I mean, granted, we've had these 4-0, steamrolls. But before those, I think those were very shocking. Those were, those were not expected. And I think the standard expectation for a U.S.-Colombia matchup would be U.S. is going to roll over Colombia. But I hope that's not the case. I hope the U.S. wins, clearly. But, this whole tournament has been just amazing, I think.
Definitely. I think it's going to the U.S.-Colombia is going to be like the Norway-Equatorial Guinea game. I think that game was so exciting and so fun. Not that I want to worry that much about the U.S. team, but I think that I love seeing these teams that are so, they put on an unexpected performance. Nobody really expected Equatorial Guinea to do anything. They really took it to Norway. Mm-hmm. It was exciting and fun and good for the whole tournament, I think.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. I mean, Equatorial Guinea having its own problems and now suspended from the Olympics, or Olympic qualifying just today, I think, was announced that they will not participate in, or FIFA has barred them from participating in Olympic qualifying due to, I think, a player with the improper credentials in terms of nationality. I don't have the article in front of me, so I don't remember.
Yeah, I think it was she had already played for another national team. I'm not quite sure, but yeah. That's always interesting. How do you pull one of those over?
I don't know. I seem to remember reading once about that it's possible with the right amount of paperwork and money, but very, very hard. I don't know if that's actually true. For the most part, it's not, but who knows? So who are you thinking? We have four quarterfinalists. So who are you thinking advancing from groups C and D?
I'm thinking from group C, I think it'll be the US and Sweden. And then from Group D, I want to say I really want Australia to go through, and probably Australia and Brazil, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe swap Australia for Norway, but I think I hope it'll be Australia. I think their next game will be a bit better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope so, too. I like Australia, and obviously your dog does, so.
Yes. Well, her name is also Sydney.
Oh.
I didn't name her. My sister did, but, yeah, she's a very silly Australian name.
Aww. Yeah. Now, that is adorable. Well, Shauna, thank you so much for being on the show with me.
Oh, thank you. I had fun.
I hope you enjoy the rest of the World Cup, and you're on Girls on the Cheap Seats weekly. You yes. typically on every week? I think so.
Sometime at this point, mm-hmm. our show is on every week. Mm-hmm. I'm there about every third week or so at this point.
It's okay. It's okay. I mean, I'm only doing a daily thing where I'm working yeah. every single day to produce podcasts. It's, yes, I mean,
doing a fantastic job.
Yeah. Oh, thank you. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and hopefully we'll get to talk to you after the World Cup. I don't know. I'm going to be out of town for a little bit, but let's have you on again.
Sure.
All right. Fantastic. Thank you so much.